If we repent and obey God's word, he will forgive, heal all the hurts and damages that we've caused, and restore us to wholeness. That's what the word of God promises. But a lot of Christians walk around in guilt, remembering every bad thing they've ever done. Know that if you confess those sins and you repented, God has already forgotten them. They're under the blood, and you remember them, but God has forgotten them. God is the only one who has the ability to forget. Everything we don't want to remember, we remember. Yay. But what God don't remember, he forgets. That's what he says. He forgets it. Your sins. No matter what we have done, we can call on the Lord in times of trouble and he will help us. We can choose a blessing or a curse by the way we choose to live. And that's what we have to understand. A lot of people around us living under a curse, they chose that curse. People addicted to drugs and alcohol, they chose that. Those who are addicted to all kinds of sexual things, they chose that. Those who very often living in poverty is because they chose to do things that produce poverty. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. But the point is, no matter what we've done or the path we've chosen, God still has his hand stretched out to us to help us. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 11, 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. You see, we choose. Those people living under the bridge down there, you can blame it on America, but they chose that. I bust 150 of them in here, and I found out they did not want our help. They made fun of us and criticized us. And they kept saying, well, if you didn't feed, we were cooking for them. They said, if you don't feed us, we won't come back. And one Sunday I announced, well, next Sunday we're going to take you back to the mission, let you eat down there. The next Sunday we had about five people. They didn't want our help. People choose where they are. Can you say amen? And they chose the path to get there. You and I have to choose. We have a choice. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Verse 28, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. When the world says this feels good, looks good, it'll bless you, you better know for sure that you're not violating God's law, because it will bring a curse. Everything looks good and feels good is not a blessing. Deuteronomy 28:15, it says, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commandments and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, these curses come right after all the blessings I pray over you every week. This is the next part. How many prefer the blessings over the curses? Well, guess what? You choose. We choose. We open the door to the devil when we disobey God. Verse 16, you'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. See, it goes right opposite to the blessings. This happens to rebels. We all know people who are living in rebellion to God. They live an ungodly lifestyle. They like it. They don't want to give it up. And they live under a curse. Bad things happen every day. And people say, oh, look at those terrible things happening to those poor people. Guess what? They chose it. They chose to use those drugs. They chose to abuse alcohol. They chose all their sexual activity, and now they're paying a price for it. But I didn't come to emphasize that. I came to emphasize that God wants to heal, forgive, heal, and restore. There's no one who hadn't messed up in some area. Somebody say amen. Amen. We all need this message, and it's a good message, but we need to know what God has delivered us from. And we need to know how to live so we don't bring those curses back. Verse 21, the Lord will plague you with diseases until you're destroyed. Until he has destroyed you from the land who you're entering to possess. Now, really and truly, it's not like God is just sending bolts of lightning or hitting us with a sledgehammer. It's all built in. I mean, if you hop in bed with someone and get HIV and die with AIDS, God didn't do that to you. You did it to you. If you abuse drugs and overdo it, you're going to kill yourself. God didn't kill the people who overdosed. They killed themselves. So the curses are built in. When you break God's law, it's going to kick in. The curse. And I'm from a family like that. My uncles, some of them could not make a living because they were addicted to alcohol so badly they couldn't even function. A lot of my cousins lived in total poverty. Why did God allow that? God didn't allow that. My uncle did. By his lifestyle. And God, because he's long gone, well, it's more than one, they're long gone dead. They answered to God in the last and in the next. I don't know what happened to them, but I know one thing. God didn't do that. They did it. I had the same choice. I could use drugs and alcohol. But when I saw what's happening to them, I said, I don't want nothing to do with that. But I had that same demon. And I was on my way to the same destruction, except I got born again in a vacation Bible school in a little Baptist church, and God changed my world. And he'll change yours too. And no matter where you are right now, he's got a plan for you. And people say, well, I had a great plan. I was doing great and I blew it and messed it up. That's okay. If you'll serve God, obey God, he's got another plan. And it may even be better than the first. The Lord will strike you with wasting diseases. And of course, we know the world is covered up with diseases. And God doesn't have to send them. But if we'll serve and obey him, he'll protect us from them. And that's the key. He protects me from a lot of things that kill other people because I serve him and obey him. And I know I have authority over them and the demonic spirits of infirmity. And I take authority over them and I walk healthy. That's the difference between being born again and not being born again. That's the difference between knowing who you are as a born again person and not knowing who you are as a born again person. Jesus said, I give you authority. He didn't say, I give it to everybody except Barry Cumberson. He's giving it to me too. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation. If none of that stuff is there, you need God to protect you from it. With scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, with plague, you will plague you until you die. You remember COVID? Kill millions of people all over the world. God didn't send that. That's the work of the devil. But God protected me. And he protected everybody in this church, really. I say most of the people in this church at the time had it. And several were hanging by a thread. But we prayed day and night and God raised every one of them up. Except one. And he was in his 80s, and he was talking to me constantly about his concern about his health. He knew things weren't right, and I believe that God just took him to heaven to spare him. Can you say amen? And interestingly enough, and he's a real close friend, I was praying day and night for him, and I felt a resistance, like something was pulling. I was pulling this way, and something was pulling him that way. I thought, what is the world going on? And then I remembered his beautiful wife had gone to heaven. I believe she's in heaven pulling him up and I'm trying to pull him back down. And she won. But all the others were healed. Michael sitting there was healed miraculously of COVID. Tracy Caston had turned it into one word. And they gave her up for dead. And I was in Nashville, and they called me and said, well, they've just given up on her. So I got back on Friday, and I called her, and she answered the phone. I expected a nurse or somebody to answer, and it was her. I said, you answered the phone? How you doing? She said, oh, I'm shopping. I said, what? You're supposed to be dead. Oh, no, God healed me during the night, and I'm out shopping. I mean, you know, a woman is healthy if she's out shopping. Is it okay to say stuff like that? When I feel healthy, I go shopping. You see, the devil's behind COVID, but God protected us. That you got to know this stuff. And most preachers not preaching it. But if you're born again, you're not a candidate for everything the world's candidate for. You have authority and power over these things. So where do you get that? Jesus said, I give you authority. That's where I get it. I give you authority. I tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, including COVID. Get out of here, devil. Hey, the devil tried to put that thing on me two or three times. And I said, no, you're putting that on me. And I prayed and all the symptoms left. God healed me. And I never missed one staff meeting, never missed 1 hour of work because God kept healing and restoring me because I'm a born-again believer and I'm a candidate for the blessings of God and not the curses. This passage right here, at the end of the service, I plan to pray for, if I don't forget it, I plan to pray the blessings and not the curses, but we choose which one we want. You see, the devil's got COVID, but we got Jesus. When we disobey the Lord, we open the door to bad things. That's what we've got to understand. Well, this looks so good. It's not good if it's contrary to the Word of God. And I say most Christians don't even know what a sin is. They feel like it's something you just rub yourself into and you get smut all over you. You just can't avoid sin. It's just everywhere. No, sin is rebellion against God, especially for a Christian. It's saying, I know this is wrong. I know the Bible says it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's sin. You don't just stump your toe and say a bad word. It's more than that. It's intentionally disobeying God's word. Now, we may stump our toe and say some things we need to ask God to forgive us for. But outright sin is when, well, it's rebellion. The Bible makes it very clear. It's rebellion. If you disobey me, disobedience is rebellion. How many have kids or grandkids? The little rascals can just rebel. Don't do that. That's the way we are. And we have to just say, I'm not going to do that. God, help me not to do it. And if you get arrogant and think, well, I'm bulletproof. I'll never fall. I'll never get into sin. You better watch out. But by the grace of God, we all go that way. It's the grace of God that keeps us. Can you say, man, it's not our arrogance. It's not our superhuman ability. And when we disobey the Lord, we open the door to bad things. God does allow the devil to kill, steal, and destroy as a way to bring us to repentance. So a lot of times bad things do happen to good people. God allows it. And I think in some cases may send it as redemption to bring them to redemption. To wake them up, to realize your lifestyle is not working for you. You see, he did, however, bring plagues on the Egyptians in order to deliver his people. God can and will bring bad things if he has to protect you and me. And as I've been preaching last week and the week before, I mean, God is a God of justice. And people who mistreat you are going to answer to God if they don't repent of it. And so God has no choice, but it's sooner or later bring judgment on people who have abused you, mistreated you. He promised, vengeance mine, I repay, saith the Lord. So it's built in, if we do not repent, every bad thing I've done to any of you, if I don't repent and make it right with God, I'm going to answer to God for it in this life and maybe in the next, if I don't repent. So God's not being mean when he brings justice and judgment. He's keeping his word. Vengeance is mine. You let it go. Forgive them. As I preached last week, let it go. I'll take care of them. If they repent, good. If they don't, they're going to face judgment. That's what it is. Well, God's a God of love and compassion. He is, but he's also a God of justice. People hurt you, they're going to answer to him if they don't repent. God allowed the Civil War to set the slaves free. It was a horrible thing. He sent plagues to get people out of Egypt. God brings justice one way or the other. Can you say, man, we can repent, make it right, or we can face the vengeance of God? That's what happened during the Civil War. People say, well, America got rich on the back of slaves. You're just ignorant of history. The South was totally destroyed. They didn't get rich. They lost everything because of sin, the sin of slavery. Can you say amen? So God does allow bad things and bring bad things on people who will not repent and who will not serve him and obey him. Sooner or later, he will drop the hammer. But right now, all he wants to do is bring you to the altar that you that might repent. Repent of your sins so he can heal you and restore you to wholeness as if you never sinned one time. That's what he's doing right now, and that's why I'm preaching this. Not trying to make people feel bad, but to make people feel good about Jesus Christ and what he has provided. In most cases, God does not personally send plagues, but he can choose not to protect rebels. And that's what's going on in America right now. When I was growing up, all these storms and things came through and didn't hardly harm anybody. But today, a storm comes through and kills a whole bunch of people. And it says, my ear is not heavy, and my hand is not short, and my ear heavy that I cannot save. But your sins have separated between you and your God. America has chosen to live the secular humanist lifestyle, and it's separating us between the protective hand of God and failure and defeat. But his people who serve him and obey him, he will protect them. Just like he protected this church through COVID. So a lot of churches weren't so blessed. Well, it does help what you believe. Yay. We believe that we have authority over the devil. We believe in the power of God to heal, and it worked. Jesus said to the man healed at the pool of Bethesda, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. You see, we can bring a worse thing by continuing to rebel against God's word. I know what it says, but I don't care. Well, you need to care. And Christians, I mean, we categorize things. Adultery, that's bad. Homosexuality, that's bad. Stealing, that's bad. Drunkenness, that's bad. But slander's okay. It is not. Sin is sin. And before God is no different. Sin is sin, and we need to repent of all of it. You don't get to slander people. We choose blessings or curses. We choose blessings or curses. Do not sit in the seat of, condemnation? Well, that's not the right word, is it? Anyway, blessed is the man that trusteth the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Can you say amen? Okay. Here's the purpose for today, this message, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for dedicating the temple. I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, like COVID. If my people, here it is, I quote this part, every week? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now at this time, the people were serving God. They just had built a new temple. They were celebrating. They were so excited about their God. And God says, but if you rebel against me and go into sin, there's still hope. There's still hope. I'll deliver you. I'll deliver you and heal you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. That's what God wants to do for every one of us that sinned and rebelled against him, not only to forgive us and cleanse us and take us to heaven someday, but to bless us on the way there. just like he blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and people who served him all through the Bible. Just read it. He blessed all of those who served him, and those who didn't serve him wound up under a curse. Just read the Bible. You'll find it for yourself. God has a blessing for those who are serving and obey him. But you need to know these things. You need to know what the Bible teaches. You need to know when you get tempted. You must pray through until you break that temptation off of you. Well, it's good enough just to resist it. There's a few times I had to pray till God broke it off of me. Temptation. And you know, when you get saved, you still like ice cream. You can still eat a little ice cream as long as you don't eat too much. But there's a lot of things your flesh still craves you better not do. Can you say amen? And the Bible says, don't do it. And it's not just because God's sitting there with a hammer. He knows that when you rebel, you open the door to the devil, and the devil will come in. And when you open the door to him, he doesn't have to get God's permission. He can come in to beat the daylights out of you. So don't do it. If you do it, repent quickly. Yay. In reality, it doesn't matter what we've done, because it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Are you seeking the face of God? Are you praying? Are you talking to him? Are you repenting when you mess up? Don't feel guilty when you mess up, because you're not the only one. We all do that. But you're really messing up if you don't repent. And asked him to forgive you. He says, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and what? Heal. He said, well, I brought all these health problems on myself, and I deserve it. No, God says he'll heal you, restore you. That word is rapha. It means to be, in the Hebrew, it's rapha. It means to be made whole emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, in every way. You can sit around and condemn yourself and say you deserve to suffer, but the Bible says you do not. Because he says, I will heal you. But you have to believe, according to your faith, you have to believe that. It does not matter what we've done. We need to repent, make things right with God. Verse 15, he says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer. When you repent, I will be watching over you and I will pay attention to every prayer you pray. Rapha means, it means to mend, to cure, to heal, to repair, to make whole. I come from the wrong side of the tracks. You talk about one messed up person. And the devil had a plan for me. I had the same demon, you know, that my other family members had. I had uncles laying around in the drunk ditch, drunk, and cousins. Had two or three uncles I could remember. They couldn't even take care of their family because they're so addicted to alcohol. I had the same demon. I knew I was headed for trouble. But when I got saved in a little Baptist vacation Bible school, 11 years old, at that age, God changed everything. Amen. And God has blessed me ever since. Thank you, Jesus. He's even blessed me with a shiny top. If we rebel against God, but then repent, pray and seek his face, he will forgive us, heal us, restore us, and I like to say treat us as if we never sinned. He said that to me one time. You get a lot of young people messing up with their lifestyle. And the Lord spoke to me in the pulpit. He said, tell them that if they repent and turn away from that sin and stop doing it, I will treat them like they never sinned. That's backed up by the Bible. When somebody has a prophetic word, check it out to see if it's backed up by the Bible. What I'm reading right now backs that up. You see, Americans have traded Christianity for secular humanism, and it's destroying this country. But if we repent, he will restore us. Somebody say amen. Secular humanism, there is no God. Man is just another animal. Doesn't matter what he does. He's not accountable to anybody. There's no God. He can do anything he wants to do. Do whatever feels good. What's right for you. How many of you know that'll send you to hell? Because there is a God. And he does hold us accountable. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Just saying there's no God doesn't mean there's no God. It just means these people are dumb. How could you say there's no God? Who put these trees out there? I love to sit and watch the insects, a little ant running around there. And I mean, they gather up stuff and store it away for winter. They know exactly what they're doing. And they're beautiful to watch as long as they don't get inside the house. Boy, they get inside the house, they're pest. Can you say amen? We had ants really bad a few years ago. And I was making hot chocolate. And there was an ant floating in my hot chocolate. I'm not kidding you. I poured it out, started over, and there's another one. So I called the exterminator. I said, you got to kill these little pests. Well, they just evolved. No, they didn't evolve. Somebody, something created them. I think the devil created some things. I think the devil created roaches. Can you say amen? Well, look at a grasshopper. Those big old eggs, that thing can jump many times higher than it. I mean, that's an accident. It just happened. There's no God. God says you're a fool if you believe that. No, I didn't say it. God said it. People believe that. He calls them a fool. Look at the moon. Wow. It says we can see God in his creation. You don't worship the moon. But when you look at the moon, you realize it's reflecting the light from the sun. I mean, it really creates an awe. How great is our God to design this beautiful moon and the sun, stars. What a great, beautiful God. Oh, that's an accident. There's a big bang. And it just, boom, it was there. The Bible teaches the same thing, except it was a big voice. It says God spoke it into existence. They just got it mixed up a little. It was a voice. It wasn't a bang. And if there was a bang, where'd it come from? If it was a bang, it had to be God banging it. Okay. Y'all glad you came to church yet? Okay. It's too early to ask that. But anyway, Israel totally rebelled. The only option God had was to let their enemies destroy their nation and take them into captivity. That's what happened. God didn't do it. He allowed their enemy to do it. And a lot of times God doesn't have to do a thing. He just sits back and lets evil people do it. Lets the devil do it. But he'll protect those who repent and obey him. Jeremiah 30 verse 3, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their fathers to possess, says the Lord. I am going to restore my people who are now in captivity. See, if you're in captivity to drugs and alcohol, illicit sex, you're probably thinking there's no hope for me. But God says, no, I'll deliver you. I'll break all that off of you. And we have some great testimonies right here in this church. One of the greatest miracles I know is right here in this church right now. Addicted to drugs, could not get off of them, but she's been off of them now for years. Has a great job, doing great things for God. She came up, gave me a big hug after church a while ago. And I told her, I said, you're one of the greatest miracles I know. And it's all about this right here. You may have done things that's got your life all messed up. God wants to straighten it out right now. And it may not be you, maybe your kids. And you think, oh my God, what's going to happen? You need to be claiming the word of God. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Never get discouraged. Never get focused on the problem. Agnes Milo was talking about this during the fast. She said one of her daughters went crazy, but she never one time confessed anything bad. She just kept praying for her daughter, believing God. And now she's her best friend. And she's serving God. Don't focus on what you see. Believe that God is a redeemer. He takes bad things and changes them to good. He takes people who are messed up and changes them into good, outstanding, good, godly people. verse, but you got to believe this and pray it. Verse 15, why do you cry out over your wound? Your pain has no cure. He says, you have messed up. There's nothing you can do to cure your mess. There's no medicine for you, but I can. I can deliver you. Look, why do you cry out over your wound, your pain that has no cure? No healing is available in this world for you. This is where many people are. They're thinking, man, I have messed up. There's no hope for me. I was counseling with a young woman many years ago. She said, I have messed up my life. She had 4 children out of wedlock and no husband to help her take care of them. She said, I've messed up my life. I says, no, God has another plan. If you'll put your faith in him and serve him, I don't know what it is, but God has it. He says, I have a plan for you. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to bless you, not to harm you. But you got to serve him, and you can't keep committing that same sin. You got to mortify the deeds of the body by the Holy Spirit and get free. Because of your great guilt and many sins, I have done these things to you. In other words, he said, I've allowed these bad things to happen to you to bring you to repentance, to bring you to common sense, to bring you to common sense. So you'll see what you're doing is messing you up. So he does. I mean, had you not rather God allow some bad things happen to you to get you right with God so you can go to heaven than just let you go and go to hell? Sometimes he will bring bad things in your life to wake you up. And nearly always when it's God, though, he'll use it for redemption. He'll use it to get people's attention, to turn them around before they go off the cliff. You see, God did these things to get their attention, but he promises healing and restoration. Look, verse 16, but all who devour you will be devoured. All your enemies, now they're still in captivity. They're still serving their enemies, so to speak. But all who devour you will be devoured. All your enemies will go into exile. Those who plunder you will be plundered. All who make spoil of you, I will despoil. All those who spoil you, I will spoil. He says, I will fight for you. I will devour, plunder, and spoil your enemies. And I want you to know that's still working today. It's working in my life. Everybody is, as a minister, everybody that has opposed me and fought me and tried to hinder me, every one of them, something bad happened to them. Either that, they repented and became my best friend, one or the other. And I've been watching. You remember Elymas? Paul was preaching to the governor. Elymas, a sorcerer of all things. He kept interfering. And Paul said, you son of the, I thought he was going to say something else. You son of the devil. He says, you're going to be blind temporarily. And the guy went blind right in front of the governor. We have authority over those kind of people. I discovered that. It's one of the best days of my life. I can take authority over demonized people because I have authority over the demon in them. The devil that's using them. There's a verse that talks about Satan being like the ruler of this world. And then it says he operates through the children of disobedience. So he operates through disobedient evil people to try to come after me. I have authority over them. In the name of Jesus. And you may think that doesn't sound quite right, but if you got time sometime, I'll explain it to you for $10. But you have to learn how to walk in victory, and take authority over things and people. But God will teach you and help you, but he didn't design you to fail. He didn't design you to be devoured by demonic people. He desired you to take authority and walk in victory. I just figure I'm no God's a respecter of persons. Would you vote that I'm something special? I don't think you would. So if God bless me, take me from the wrong side of the tracks, deliver me from that wicked lifestyle of my relatives, he'll do it for you. Somebody say amen. They caused this disaster just as we may have, but God promises to restore them to health and heal their wounds. No matter what we have done, God will forgive, heal, and restore. I believe that with all my heart. And as a pastor, I've seen it over and over during the years of my ministry. He takes people who are messed up and totally transforms them. But if we hold, now listen, if we hold sin, hate, bitterness, unforgiveness, as I preached last week, in our hearts, he may turn away from us. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14. See, it's important how we live. I set before you today a blessing and a curse. For the Lord your God moves about in your camp, in your life, to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. There you have it, to deliver your enemies to you. That's what I'm talking about. I have authority over those who might hate me or despise me. And as far as I know right now, I don't know anybody that's out to get me. But if they are, I feel sorry for them. And I mean that. I didn't write this. For the Lord your God moves about in your camp to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. See why I'm grinning? Okay. They don't have a chance. But, look, your camp must be holy. They said, well, I'm not holy. Well, probably what you mean by holy is not the same thing it means here. If you're, as a born-again believer, if your sins are in the blood, God sees you as holy. It's important to understand that. It says you're bought and paid for. You're not your own. I'm his property. I belong to him. The devil has no legal right to touch me. Oh, he will. But if I know my authority, I say, devil, get your hands off of me. Because I belong to God. Your camp must be holy so that he will not see among you anything indecent or unclean and turn away from you. You see, if we are doing forbidden things that he has told us not to do, either from scripture or personally, he may turn away from us. We need to obey him. See, Dottie and I were told to come to Knoxville and start this church. We had nothing, no way to do it really, but all we had was to obey. We obeyed and God is taking care of us now for 45 years. We had to obey. What if we hadn't obeyed? See, something that simple. Well, I'm called to preach, but I'm not going to do it. Uh-oh. Bad decision. You see, we need to make sure our sins are under blood and that we're obeying him. 1 Timothy 4:4. I don't know where the time is gone, but I have got to speed up. Can y'all speed up your hearing? 1 Timothy 4:4, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And that's where we live today. A lot of people have been deceived. A lot of our kids go to these universities as spirit-filled Christians. They come back as atheists. Deception all over America, especially in these universities. Verse 2, is that right, Chuck? He's over Caiaphas of University Ministry for the state of Tennessee. Verse 2, such teachings come through hypocritical liars. That's what he calls the secular humanist Marxist teachers in our universities, hypocritical liars, whose conscience, and I didn't write this either, whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. Some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. This is happening right now, and we need to pray like never before for our kids. They've got to keep them. You see, there has been an effort by atheists to destroy faith in Jesus Christ in America. The ACLU, which is made up of atheists, secular humanists, and globalists, went to the Supreme Court and removed prayer from school. I was sitting in high school when that happened. They legalized abortion and they created separation of church and state, which our founding fathers did not practice. Thomas Jefferson was over our school system after he was president, and he used the Bible as a textbook. They did not believe in separate the Bible from the state. These people lie. Deceivers. And it's certainly not in the Constitution. Find it. Show it. It's not there. They promote freedom from religion and work constantly to remove every Christian symbol, including the cross, from public view. They do not want your kids to know anything about Jesus Christ. And have freedom of religion would mean I have no freedom. A freedom from religion would mean I have no freedom of religion. If they have freedom from religion, that means they have freedom from me preaching. In other words, I can't preach anymore because they have freedom from what I have to say. You cannot have freedom from religion, have freedom. You can have freedom of religion, have freedom from religion. These people know that. They're out to destroy us and shut us up, shut us down. Not here, not now, not ever. Most preachers don't have the intestinal fortitude to get up and preach a message like this, but they're going to answer to God for it. One reason America is in such trouble is because they don't know the truth, and they don't know the truth because preachers are cowards. I'm a coward too, but I'm afraid of God, not them. If you're going to be a coward, be afraid of God. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where I am. I'm totally lost up here on them. Thank you, Jesus. See, there's been an effort to totally wipe Christianity and Jesus Christ completely out of our society altogether. They say in the Humanist Manifesto that they do not believe in a creator God. They believe in evolution. I already told you what I think about that. Everything you see, I mean, all these little insects, I mean, these hundreds of them, maybe thousands of them. Oh, that's all an accident. And look in the mirror, look at your eyeball. That is the most sophisticated camera ever made. But it's an accident. If you believe in evolution, you have to believe in a divine power guiding it. Oh, well, it was the Big Bang. Well, where'd the Big Bang come from? I think I've already said this, but it was a big voice. It's a big voice. God spoke it into existence. You see, these people have worked for decades legalizing drugs, pornography, gambling, and indecent language and behavior. And they have worked daily trying to bring immorality to America. You see, when the situation is totally hopeless, God will bring judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because they were in rebellion to God's law and would not repent. Just listen to this and just hold your judgment. Just listen. Angels came to see Lot, but the people of these cities thought they were young men. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 4, before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. Verse 5, they called to Lot, "Where are the young men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so we can have sex with them." Verse 7, and Lot said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing." Verse 9, get out of our way, they replied. They said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. He threatens we will treat you worse than them." And that's what people say about us. "Don't you judge us." I'm not judging anybody. This is the judge right here. And the Bible says on judgment day, Jesus Christ is the judge, and he's going to judge us by this. So I'm not judging anybody. I'm just reading. I'm trying to keep you out of hell. I've got a list of sermons I love and like to preach. This is not one of them. But we need it. If you're going to walk in victory, you've got to obey God. If you're going to have healing and blessings in your life and restoration, you have got to obey God. There's no perfect people. We do the best we can, and we mess up. We ask him to forgive us. It's that really that simple. We don't sit around and feel guilty. We're humans, and we're going to mess up. The two angels said, verse 13, "The outcry to the Lord against its people of Sodom is so great that has sent us to destroy it. You see, these are not just homosexuals, it mentions that, but these are militants who are trying to force their will on others. I have several wonderful homosexual friends. I got one I feel like almost part of my family. I love them. I'm commanded by the Word of God to love them, and God's put love in my heart for them. Man, I've been criticized just a little bit. Well, he spends too much time hanging out with these. No, I'm commanded to love everybody. The Good Samaritan got down in the ditch to help the Jew. But Jesus said, go and be a Good Samaritan. I mean, if it's a homosexual, you help them, you get them out of the ditch. You don't judge and abuse people because they don't agree with you. And some people think, well, Barry hates me because I'm a homosexual. I went to see this girl in the hospital one time. And she said, I used to hate you. I said, well, join the club. Because she's homosexual. She said, I thought you hated me because I'm a homosexual. But she said, now I know you love me. And you care about me. Homosexual in the hospital, and there I am praying for her. People want to know you love them. They'd rather know you love them than to know you agree with them. I don't agree with that lifestyle because it does harm to them. They're trying to adopt children. Two women can't have children. Two men can't have children. And so that's a problem right there. They'd be a lot happier to be like me and Donnie. Can you say amen? I mean, it's exciting to be married to a woman. You can never figure out. I mean, you just never know. Who would want to be married to an old boring man? So they miss out on a lot, but I love them just the same. And they know I do. They sense it. They can tell. If you don't love them, you got a problem. God loves them. He died for them. Jesus died for them. He didn't die just for you. He died for the homosexuals too. If you have same-sex attraction, just know that these people in this church love you. We're praying for you. And it is a demonic thing, and you can be set free. But we're going to love you like you are. But God wants to help you. Can you say amen? The outcry, that clock, somebody plug that thing. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. We have the angel rescued Lot and his daughters out of Sodom before it was destroyed. Verse 24. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Now, I'm going to prove to you that that happened, okay? From the lips of Jesus Christ. Verse 26, but Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Focus on Jesus Christ and never look back at the devil's world. Stay focused on Jesus. Verse 30, Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains. The point is, God does bring judgment, but he rescues those who want to be rescued. He brings judgment, but he rescues those who want to be rescued. Do you want to be rescued? God loves us all, but he demands repentance. He's not going to allow sin in heaven. Some do not believe this story, but Jesus said in Luke 17:29, anybody believe Jesus? But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Jesus Christ said it happened. And if this nation doesn't repent, someday it'll be destroyed. And just think how easy that would be. Russia has enough nuclear weapons to level this whole country. China does too. All God has to do is lift his hand of protection and we're gone. It's that easy. Let's claim that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and heal their land, restore them to wholeness, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, every way. I will restore you as if you'd never sinned. But when the situation is hopeless, God will bring judgment. This is not hate speech. This is just the word of God. No matter how you see it, God does bring judgment and vengeance. He promised to. Now, here's one more story very quickly. Slow down the clock. But God will heal and restore us if we repent. Jonah, chapter 3, verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. Verse 4, on the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. God is going to destroy this city because you're so wicked. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. Americans need to believe God. They need to believe this. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. You see, Sodom could have done that too. They could have repented and not been destroyed. America can repent and not be destroyed. We've got to turn our backs on secular humanism. Verse 8, their king said, let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. See, violence always follows rebellion. People become violent to each other. Look at America, how violent we are. It's dangerous to go out on the street in the daylight. Verse 9, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. The king says, let's repent. Let's give it all we got. Let's see. Let's see what God will do. Verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. That's the God I serve. What kind of God do you serve? He's a God of compassion. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you'll confess it to him, he'll forgive you, cleanse you, and he'll give you a brand new plan. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This is what God will do if people repent and obey his word. But we will eventually, he will eventually destroy those who continually rebel and will not repent. You see, our sin hurts other people, so he has to bring vengeance. He has to bring justice on those who have hurt us. If we repent and turn from evil, the Lord will heal and restore us to wholeness. Can you believe that? Has he already done it for you? If he's done it for you, say amen very loudly. Amen. See, if we call upon the Lord, he, in the day of trouble, he promises to deliver us. The Lord turns away from those who will not repent and rebel against his word. He will eventually bring judgment. If we repent, God will not bring judgment, but protection, deliverance, and restoration. Let's stand.